IVM.
Stories, we've got stories. They're a little bit of funny and a little bit of the same dad. You want to hear them? It's got humans. We're sitting in a box and talking old Edwards all live.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Varta Lab. This is episode 11 of the second season of the Varta Lab.
Yes.
And here we are. We have a very special guest. Actually, today's guest, we have so much history with.
Yeah.
And it's nice because this season we've had a lot of guests, but not a lot of guests with this much history involved in the middle of it. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to introduce you to the sweetest guy I know, actually.
Yeah.
After the Dalai Lama.
And after Anirban Dasgupta.
Actually,
hey, fuck Anirban, man.
Wow.
Way to make an entry, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome, Dhruv Deshpande.
Yes.
What's up, guys?
What's up, Dhruv? How are you, man?
I'm good, man. Thanks for having me. What's up, Naveen?
Hi.
What's up, Akash?
So, Dhruv and I go very way back.
Yes.
It's good to mention history, though, because Deshpande was a surname very famously in our SSC books. If you remember, like, they were the ones who basically were landowners.
No, dude. We were warriors.
No, but there's a prominent part in my history book which says Deshpande used to assault
what
people for not paying
that
loans.
Must be one asshole Deshpande. And then all of us got a
you're from his lineage.
What is?
That was Baji Prambu Deshpande. That was the warrior guy who saved Shivaji.
Okay.
But no jokes on that.
I know Pula Deshpande. He was damn funny.
Correct. Pula Deshpande was damn funny.
Yeah.
But he has nothing to do with me.
Yeah. Oh, shit. Ah, damn it. There goes that plot. Well, anyway, usually we like to tell a story to introduce this guest, but that's what happens when you get guests who are friends. They interrupt.
Yeah.
And
sorry, guys. Damn.
But, you know, so when comedy started in India, we were not there. But after that, after a couple of years, we all started doing comedy. And way back then, there was a dearth of people around my age. I was around 18, 19 years old. And Naveen had not started comedy at this time.
I was a fetus.
This is primordial comedy.
So long back.
Yeah, where ancient comedians roamed the earth, who still do, because this scene is a baby.
Yeah.
There was me, there was Deep Chhabria, who was about my age. There was Siddharth Dudeja, who was a year older, but my batch. Ronak Rajani was the baby, so to speak, because he was a year younger.
Mm.
And there was Dhruv.
I came little, I came like 2 years or something ke baad I was there.
Guys, I think you're forgetting Vikram Poddar.
Oof. Vikram Poddar was not around our age.
It's okay to forget. This shot is worth firing. It's cool.
So anyway, back then there was a real dirt of people of our age. And then Dhruv came along. When Dhruv came along, Ibar and all. Okay.
Ibar is before me, dude.
You came when Ibar was still around.
No, I came after.
After Ibar?
Ibar extinct hua and then bhai aa gaya. In the scene.
Who came first?
I think my memory of this is getting fuzzy. Dhruv, why don't you tell the story?
Everybody used to think that Dudeja and I are the same person. I think you're doing the same thing.
Yeah, no, a little bit that. No,
I came after Ibar. The first time we met was in NMMS, was it?
No.
When was the first time? I know, Akash was the first paid show I got.
Yeah?
Yeah. 3,000
terrible job of researching your own stories for this show.
Yeah, man. I thought that
the point of this podcast is that you don't have to research anything and just come and tell your own stories.
I'm sorry,
man. How can you goof up your own stories,
because
man?
It's so long ago.
I'm highly disappointed.
Okay, where do you think we first met?
I think we first met at Mocha Mojo.
I've never been there in my life.
Okay. I think we first met. Okay, I'll tell you what I remember. Hive was around when you were there. Hive was just...
Correct.
We were transitioning from there being nothing to Hive happening.
Correct.
So this is somewhere around 2013-14.
Correct. 13 okay? End, yeah. 14 beginning.
Yeah.
Wait, 14 end.
14 end, I was working at Hive.
Yeah, 14 end, I joined the scene.
Yeah, 14 end, 15 Jan, I started working at Hive. So this is 2013.
Okay.
In 2013, and you lived in Thane. You still live in Thane.
Yeah. Hey, man.
Yeah, Red Dhruv.
That's still my email ID.
Yeah, it's still your email ID. Okay, great. So it was, I think, and you used to do one-liners.
Yeah, only one-liners.
Yeah, he used to be this really big guy who did only one-liners. And I used to keep seeing you at open mics, but there weren't many to go around at that point.
Yeah, there were very few. There was like once a week. No, not even that.
Which
there was like
a,
one canvas happening, one Monday a month, I think, that time. And one Hive open mic probably once a month or twice a month, I think.
And this is when Hive was a khandar, like more khandar than the khandar that it was in its glory.
Yeah.
It was not like the walls weren't there and
dude, it was such a pain to find. That was one of the first comedy venues I performed and I was like, aise karte ho tum log, matlab,
yeah,
it was somewhere deep inside. Yeah. It was quite scary.
And then at that point, there was a lot of dearth of open mics. So we used to spend a lot of time writing with each other.
Correct.
And that ended up being the only forum to actually discuss ideas before we took them to stage, because there was not enough stage anyway.
Hmm.
And that's when we ended up writing together a lot.
Oh, yeah. That's when Barefeet Comedy happened.
That's when Barefeet Comedy happened. Yeah. See, the story is there, Naveen. Sometimes it requires digging, okay? You
see,
if only you had the patience with me.
For those of you who don't know, Barefeet Comedy is the collective that... thankfully never was.
Yeah, that never ended up doing anything.
Yeah.
And in retrospect, looking back, back then we were trying to do something where the logic was ki, okay, collect his work.
Hmm.
Because this was at the height of, you know, AIB coming out,
AIB
EIC and SNG.
Clearly not.
Yeah, I mean, looking in retrospect,
as of today, all the three main collectives have all disbanded.
All disbanded, yeah. So,
yeah, yay comedy.
Yeah, and BFC was more of a WhatsApp group, I feel, and a writing room, because we used to just sit and write jokes together.
Yeah.
We used to do the simple rule of, you know, jiska premise, uska punchline.
Hmm.
And everyone would rant off 1-1-1-1-1. And we're forgetting the last person in this happy marriage of minds, Akshay Shinde.
Oh yeah, Shinde, of course. Can't forget Shinde.
Akshay Shinde, who was pursuing CA at that point of time. So all of us were like really different. Because he was doing pharmacy. Yeah. Shinde was doing CA ka pursuit.
Dude, this podcast is relatable to like 5 people at this
no,
point.
No, I'm just trying to explain like everybody's backstory of this super group.
Yeah.
I was doing my thing. Siddharth Dudeja was just finishing BMM.
I think it finished BMM.
Yeah, he had finished BMM.
I think 1 year into proper
for,
comedy.
Yeah, writing for Weird Ass or something. This is very old time. Okay, you have to understand. There's a lot of context. We are trying to set it here. So all of us were thoda lavaris, and Vikram Poddar was there. Vikram Poddar had just quit his investment banking job and had become not corporate comedian Vikram Poddar and pre-dick pic Vikram Poddar.
Boom! Now this is a shot, dude. This
I mean,
that, shot.
See, it happened at some point. There's no denying that it happened.
Right.
Calling a spade a spade.
Yeah, I mean, hai hua to hua. So like, and unfortunately, that's what he's known for now, which is sad, because like he used to be corporate. We used to call him Vikram CK.
Yeah.
Because he was Vikram Corporate King.
Oh, dude.
Yeah.
Vikram CK, that's like...
yeah, I don't know. It's weirdly, poetically sad now.
Mm.
But this is so that back in the day, man. And before the scene was even a scene. Before the scene was an industry, at least.
Mm-hmm.
So we're setting context. No, shut up.
I'm along with this, right?
Okay, okay, good. So, all five of us real... And Abbas Momin was also there.
Yeah.
Abbas, if you've heard the other IBM podcasts.
Yeah.
He was also around.
Abbas had four more hair back then.
He had...
Abbas was a late... He joined late, right?
He joined late and he was never quite...
He was never quite in.
Yeah, he was never quite in on the writing sessions.
But I saw a pattern of like all like bespectacled young delusional dudes. That's what Barefoot
Comedy. Dudes.
Yeah, chubby dudes.
Chubby dudes.
Yeah, it was a lot of that.
I might have drooled on the cover photo of your Facebook page.
Oh, lovely.
A few times before I joined comedy.
And that was a fun...
that was a really fun shoot.
Yeah, we did a... of course. At the half-finished Hive.
Dude, we took our shit really seriously, man.
Yeah, we really did. We organized Studio 62.
That was a good venue.
That was an acid trip of a venue.
That was a platform 9 3/4 of a venue.
Yeah, and that's where Naveen started comedy. So I mean, it all comes together at the end, thanks to BFC.
Nice.
Weirdly enough.
Yeah, that's the room where two of my friends came to see my first ever spot.
Mm.
And he came.
They have no idea. So two of my best friends and my ex.
Yeah, I was there when this happened.
Well, out of the six audience members in the room, and
there were like 15 people there.
Balls, 15 people.
Okay, maybe 7. But
the first few ones got really lots of people. Yeah,
I remember that, and we even did some college gigs and all as a group.
That
was my first paid gig.
Yeah, the Simser, all red auditorium.
Dude, your first solo was there. I remember your solo happened there once.
No,
I don't think he was doing
never.
Solos.
It happened there once. I have like
at Studio 62.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Of course, I have that taped on YouTube as an unlisted video.
Correct.
Yeah. That the first hour I ever.
That's the first time I ever sat in the front row.
Yeah.
And spat on
me. See, I told you it's
spit. I'm sorry, man. It's not like I do it by choice. It's just, you know, delivery mein ho jata hai.
Passion, yeah.
So how did you meet through Naveen?
Yeah.
I think we just met at Hive only.
Yeah, at Hive. That's where all the comics met.
Yeah.
That's that entire batch of comics.
Yeah, and I liked his writing style, and like you saw me probably talking about being gay, and you know, I think he was around the time you wrote that post about
your
family.
Post.
Oh.
And then like
Well, that's one interesting thing about Dhruv, to give y'all some context. Yeah. Sorry. So Dhruv is a comic. He's been a comic. I mean, I still think Dhruv is a comic first in my heart. But Dhruv is also a writer. He's one of the most sought after writers as far as I'm concerned when it comes to the comedy world. He's constantly writing and something or the other. And he's been with us in the scene for a lot of time. One of the things that he does very wonderfully is he has this way of, how should I put it?
Capturing emotion that you can't really put out there, but putting it out
guys,
there.
Guys, I've put like one post in 2 years.
No, but you know.
But you make it count.
Yeah, you make it count. and it's two posts, by the way.
There was another one.
Yeah.
So, that was the next year.
Yeah. So there you go. So, and his Facebook posts are really moving.
Yeah.
And I why don't you do those more, man? Is it just that you don't feel that way about stuff?
Then I feel like it'll be like a thing where I'm just because one thing worked, so why should I do it again? If I feel something, I'll write it.
Yeah.
Mm. It's just one of those
things.
I just
never happened to feel that feeling again.
Yeah. And I didn't like think about it like, oh, it's going to go viral. If I wanted to go viral, I'd probably make it like way shorter because it was like huge. I just like wrote it and posted it.
Yeah.
I didn't think of it as, oh, ye kiya, abhi ye chal raha hai, chalo, or every week it karte.
Like this year, Kolkata, I was on the tour and like the week had just begun. Okay. I reached on Monday afternoon, I think. Monday night, I reached Kolkata and Tuesday was the open mic happening. And that's the Tuesday where I went out and I was told it's at a venue which is like a chai outlet.
Hmm.
And I go, and this is the time when like this crazy rain's happening in Kolkata and it was bridge collapsed. Like,
oh, man.
That bridge collapsed. And I did not know until I left. I was like sleeping in my bed and I just woke up and I slept out. And I took a taxi and I reached the wrong venue, obviously. Like, me being me and me being like a dumbass. I was like probably 70 kilometers away from where the actual venue is. But now the taxi guy had left me at the most difficult place in Kolkata where all the action was happening, basically. Like all the people trying to get out of the city because the bridge was intercity and it was cutting a lot of people out of the city. So there was pandemonium, all the buses were overflowing.
Hmm.
And I got to a metro station, I got to the metro and then finally walked till my hotel. But then there's a place called Olipub, which is on Park Street, which is the most happening place in Kolkata. And I just sat there and started drinking alone, okay? And it was after a big, like, very hectic day. Everything went wrong. I was like, Kolkata's not happening.
Hmm.
Everything is wrong. I started drinking and I just, like, remember my mother for a change, okay?
Uh-huh.
And this hasn't happened because of all these years of traveling. I've been like, okay, I can live away from my mom. It's okay.
Hmm.
And I remember my mom and then I just put this tweet out, which is like, you know, I lived inside the closet for 23 years and died every day. But, like, it was recently after I came out, my mom told me I should have come out earlier. So all that I've been able to achieve now is because of my mother's patience. And to parents out there, just be kind to your children or whatever. And I just like kept on drinking. I was getting drunker by the hour. And in no time, this tweet has gone viral. And I have no idea how it's happened. Mm-hmm. Because just the fact that, you know, I spoke about something which was not even planned as a joke or anything. Just like something that was heartfelt.
Yeah.
And next day, Times of India features the tweet.
Uh-huh.
And the next day, the Supreme Court verdict happens.
Damn.
And it was just like a series of events that I had not anticipated. Like, everything was shit for a while. And then, like, the next 3 days, boom, 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 everything was fine.
Yeah.
You know, and my mom was also like, she read the tweet somehow on the paper and she was like, hey, thank you, whatever.
Aww.
So, yeah, I'm saying, like, it matters because whenever you put something on social media which is not pretentious, which is just you being you, I think that's what really goes. And that's what the thing about your post was as well.
Yeah, so about your tweet, you didn't have the goal key, okay, I want this to go viral. I said anything. You just felt it and you
put it. And I cried. I sat in a bar and cried in Kolkata.
Yeah. And that's, I think that's what it is though, right? Like that's what we're constantly pursuing as whatever kinds of artists that we are. Like we just want to get to that point where exactly what you're feeling is exactly what's coming out and they're feeling the same thing.
Mm.
It's not like a verbalization or a representation through some other medium. It is the feeling.
Correct.
In a different form.
Mm.
Mm. Wo to bahut mushkil hai. But you do it a lot, dude.
No, yeah, not too much. But yeah, tabhi to that was, so even mera bhi, it was similar situation where I was, I did the gig in, I think in Bandra somewhere.
Could you give them more context about the post itself?
Oh, so it was a post. Okay, so I did a gig in Khar. This was around the, before the, no, this was when Section 377 happened, like when it was like enforced again or something.
Yeah, yeah, 2013,
yeah. So Harish Aya, this really famous activist, he was organizing a pride event.
Hmm.
So I told him, can I perform? Because I had a couple of jokes about Ramdev Baba at that time.
Yeah.
Around homosexuality, homophobia, all that. So I went and performed and it was like an insane feeling because the audience was like, they were like cheering in a different way. I don't know if I was a politician then or what. I was just saying things that have happened and they were like really passionately like pumping their fists and saying, yes, yes, true. Hmm. Type.
Queer events are crazy.
Yeah, they're crazy, dude. I've never seen so much energy. And then I got back and I was like, dude, these people, they just want to be happy and live like the way they want to live. And I just broke down. I was literally crying and writing the post, like similar to your tweet.
Yeah, yeah.
At the time, and that's when I posted it actually that night. Just and yeah, so that was a post. But yeah, so there was no intention ki oh ye viral jayega or something.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like that. It's like when you're on stage and you forget that you're on stage is when you're yourself the most.
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah. But you've been writing other stuff lately. In fact, you're so busy to write. You know how hard it is. Every time I get a writing inquiry that I want to pass through, Dhruv is never free. Dhruv is like never free. And that's an interesting thing that happened with us. Like for everyone in Barefoot Comedy, everyone went their own ways. But Dhruv was the only one who went into writing. I think now to the point where it's most of the work you do right now, right?
It's all the work I do, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all the work I do. So, yeah, I know. I mean, usually, so when I started out, obviously, like all other comics, I started out writing as like, "Theek, stand-up ko fund karenge. It's easy money. Let's do that." But then I always wanted to write columns and articles, which thoda on a small scale I have, but not on a large scale. So that's what, that was my initial. Actually, Ashish Shakya's articles in
Hindustan Times.
Hindustan Times were the first ones
Stupidest
I read.
Maximus.
Yeah. Those that were
was
my, great.
Those, yeah. It was really good. And I read it now and it still holds good. So that was when I started liking writing comedy-ish things. So that's what I wanted to do for a living. So I honestly always wanted to be a writer first. And then comedy happened. Then comedy, obviously, the glamour. I was like, oh, wow, this is awesome.
Yeah.
But then I felt...
The glamour?
Yeah, I mean, there is
back
glamour.
Back then, what glamour was there?
Yeah, glamour, matlab, for you, like, you go on stage, 10 people are laughing at your jokes, wherever it is, you feel... You feel on the top of the world.
Yeah.
Which is what I agree with. Like, I kept saying this even before and before I got into this podcasting business also. Like, whenever I was still at Hive, like, as an outsider, just, like, seeing you guys have that camaraderie where you just, like, fist bump and, like, you know, crack a joke.
Yeah.
And I wanted to be a part of that. So I think for someone who's outside comedy, for a big thing, for them to be is like, okay, part of that whole thing. Like, when we had Bangalore Comedy Festival, for example.
That's true.
Like, imagine there's, like, 200 people outside who can't see what's happening backstage.
Yeah.
Where we're just like noobs who are just like roaming around in the fucking room. But we actually, for them, it's a big thing to like be in that.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And you get to be weird. You have your own weird friends. So I remember doing the college gig also. Like, I was shitting bricks before because how many people? I think it was 200 or something.
Yeah.
And I've gone from performing to 7 people once a month for 3 or 4 months to performing to 200 people, paid show, 10 minutes. First 10 minutes ever, 5 minutes new. And they were shit. I bombed for like 3 minutes, I think.
But then he bricked it up.
Then I think after that it went well. But I was shitting bricks behind. So after that, at that point also everybody was together. They were like, "Chal kar lega, attention mat le, you go." I was supposed to go first, but Akash saw me and he was like, "No, you go fourth or something." Audience is warm.
Yeah, I hosted. I remember. I think I hosted that. No? I hosted a lot back then.
Yeah.
I had no choice.
I still enjoy hosting though. I don't know. With comedy, I don't feel the same. I don't know, love for it anymore. So even when I the first time when I took a break from comedy, I felt really stand up. I felt really happy. So I was like, I'm going to write. And then I thought maybe it's because I'm not enjoying my material. So I wrote some new material about stuff like I actually felt about myself. And it did well. But even then I was like, yaar, I don't know. I'm enjoying sitting at home and writing like way more. This doesn't make sense to most comics because usually it's always the other way around.
And we used to do a lot of lineups together back then because when I was programming Hive, Drew was like, "Hey, put me on this."
Yeah.
So I would put you on and then like you would ask me around 5 p.m. like, "Is it worth leaving the house for?"
Dude,
I live in Thane to Khar, man.
Yeah. Hive was infamous for like 8 people shows and
no, Hive was infamous for cancellations.
Yeah, it
8 people
a lot
was a great show, dude.
Yeah, yeah.
8 people in Hive was a good
8
show.
People is sold out.
Remember when we did Rugrats?
Oh, yeah.
We did
that was fun,
called Comedy Rugrats and we got like a whole bunch of people.
Yeah, and my parents, that was the first show my parents
are. It was not bad. Yeah, 25 people.
What was the theme?
It was just like...
I just did my whole stand-up.
Yeah,
there probably was a theme.
But there was a theme of growing up. That's what we tried to stick to a little bit.
No, I was like, I'm growing up. I'm going to do my jokes.
Yeah.
most theme shows are sold like by the idea of like, okay, come, we'll talk about
man,
something.
But
like,
I really enjoy the idea of having a theme show with a theme. Like this show
where they follow through the theme, like
two minorities walk into a bar is a great idea for me. Like I love that show. Yeah. We've been doing it for a couple of times here and there. It's just like minority comics coming and doing material. I think this is interesting. 2 30-minute sets, throw
that's
a perspective.
At Cuckoo Club, no?
No.
It's at Little Easy.
It's at the Little Easy and Cat Cafe and wherever else we can get it on.
Sorry. Nudge,
elbow, Naveen.
Do the show at my house.
I love it. But then don't you But you enjoy writing.
I genuinely enjoy writing.
You enjoy writing all kinds of stuff? Do you enjoy writing certain stuff more?
No, I don't enjoy writing all kinds of stuff, obviously.
Do you enjoy writing award shows?
There's stuff you do for money.
We both wrote an award show together. I won't take the name because Dhruv still wants to be employed by them. but it was actually, it was a poor, I was in Baroda.
So dude, all award shows are really bad. Hmm? All award shows are... Yeah. As a rule, they're bad. There's no award show writing where you feel, oh wow, I've written something. It's always
bad. Is it because they're too worried about somebody getting offended?
No, so the first script is always, especially with Bollywood, the first script is, I mean, I'm saying this myself, but I love the first script, the first draft. But when the host, the actors, they see it, then it just goes to shit.
Yeah.
Because everybody wants to play safe.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I used to blame them. I was like, dude, be an artist. You know, do something great. Do some...
But the sense of humor is only so skewed. You can't really...
It's not even like... Even if they think something is fine, they laugh in the room. I've had this many times. They laugh in the room and then they'll be like, yaar, but I can't do this.
Yeah. But that's the problem with it. Like, we can't have that same level of freedom that you see with the Oscar or the Emmy ka hosts, where they just like really go for it with people. The Nariel Awards, when they happened, those 2 years or something, they got so much flack for the stuff they were saying. Which ones are fun? Which ones are the freest to write on?
So I've been doing some with GQ, which is not bad.
Okay.
I mean, they're actually fun because obviously they'll also want to play safe and not make punch down on, make any jokes on celebrities or the business family of our country. But
the one particular business family of our country?
Okay. Yes.
Yeah, but also like these mock award shows were all the rage in 2014, I remember. Like
the Ghantas, no?
The Ghantas, the Royal Turks.
Yeah, I enjoyed the one EIC wrote, I think, the first one. I enjoyed that, dude.
Which one?
The Ghantas only, I'm talking about.
Okay,
the Ghantas,
Ghanta Awards or something.
I used to have a lot of trouble following those because I just didn't know most of the films, man. Mm. Like, I was just like, because I to stopped watching all. I remember there was like a good 6 years when I to gave up on Bollywood. I was like, kuch nahi aa raha hai dhanga. Like, saal mein ek picture dhanga aata tha. This year has
been... Wo bhi Aamir Khan ka.
Haan, wo bhi Aamir Khan ka. Oh, man. Ouch.
Yeah.
That was a tough time to survive.
Yeah.
Have you written for a movie yet?
No, man, no. I don't want to write for a... Like, not yet. I don't know. I want to do fiction, but not movies. I know it's all going to be shit. I mean, I've not seen one movie in our country where I felt either that I have the skill set to do this or that I like this. So, like, I like some movies, but I don't think I have the skill set to write that good Hindi or whatever. Wo abhi tak to nahi hai. So I would love to do some fiction shows. The one we were discussing before.
Yeah
there's no context on this podcast, but the one we were discussing. I would love to do stuff like that. But, our media is stuck between very short format, filter copy type ka, you know, relatable web series and directly movies. There's no other thing that's really successful in the middle, if you know, if that makes sense.
Do you think it's because of the lack of an audience or the lack of an imagination?
I don't know. I think we get, as creators, you get stuck between who you're trying to please. So right now I'm doing something with this comedian called Supriya Joshi, who may or may not be in this room. We're just making, like, we don't even know if we're going to release them. We just started to write, but we love it. And these are just random videos, absurd, which have no relatability factor at all. So, like, literally no one can relate to those videos, but we really find them funny, and maybe if 5 people find it funny, it's fine. So I'd love to do stuff like that, but I don't think, I mean, that's not marketable either, but you get stuck.
It doesn't have to. Like, sometimes I feel like when I put out stuff, I don't even care if anyone watches it. I think it's just the act of just pushing it out. Like, I think the process of making it is more fun than, because I kind of, by the end of the process, I'm like, I don't care if anyone doesn't watch it. I just enjoyed it, dude. I enjoy watching it again. Like, when I that chicken video and all the onions video, I keep watching them. I trip to them. I think it's my magnum opus.
Like,
dude,
my 12 Gays of Christmas.
Like, I enjoyed it.
The sad thing is that the people who have the money to produce this shit don't. So hopefully that changes in a few years, where, like, people who are thinking like we are right now, like, they get rich, they have their own studios. There's no one who wants to actually be meta and do random bizarre shit.
What's your day like now? Now that you have given up on our perpetual pursuits of laughs?
So I've given up temporarily. I don't know. Like, I still do some shows. I feel, oh, this is great. Then I'll do another show. I feel like, hey, I killed, but why? Just forget.
And I saw how you tried really hard to, like, create a scene in Thane, so you wouldn't have to travel too far.
Thane scene is, I'm doing Thane shows regularly.
See what I'm saying? Like, every Instagram story is like, the guys Thane has seen.
Dude, really anybody performs, like, almost every show I promote on my Instagram, which, like, 800 people see and come. Dude, four people came, you know.
but they didn't come for my show.
Yeah, they came for my show, which got cancelled.
Anyway. Oh no.
We don't have to come for my show.
If anyone's listening to this, please go to Thane to watch stand-up comedy.
Yeah, man. Thane folks, man. Please go. Then the rest of us will also come.
This is the second time in a week we're like mentioning Thane.
Yeah, but please don't go to Intermezzo.
Yeah, don't go to Intermezzo.
Oh, because damn.
Because they are mean
fired.
People. Yeah, you don't know what they did?
Who?
We totally ragged on them in the last episode.
In the last episode.
Was it the first show that you guys did?
No, it was the 31st night show.
J-Spot wala?
Yeah.
No, not J-Spot.
This is Antariksha.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, what we happened? Discussed it on the. You listened to the last episode.
Okay, I'll.
So I told
okay,
you.
Cool. So my day looks very like it's different for different days. Right now I'm working on a web series, so like 4 days a week we have to go to office.
Yeah.
So it really depends. That's the good thing about writing, I feel, because yeah, there's no fixed routine. Every day is something different. That sometimes I'm jobless, like I was for the last 2 weeks, which was great.
Yeah.
sometimes I have like. 3 or 4 clients together, which is also great. I was doing, I can say this because I don't think I'm going to work with them again, but I don't know if I can. I was doing something rhyming with Jig Joss. Do you know that show?
Yeah. Never heard of it.
The perfume brand. Jig Joss.
Yeah, Jig Joss.
Those guys.
Jig Joss season 12.
I've smelled that. It's a shit's fragrance.
Yeah.
So I was doing that, which was like really shit, really, really, like it was so bad, dude. Like sometimes you go on stage with first thoughts. This was like, first thought is too evolved, you know, that kind of show. Like if you start.
So what were you writing for? Were you writing for the people in the house?
No. It was like a roundup show of what happened in the week, with jokes.
I was called for this.
Oh, really? Yeah. Why did you do it, dude?
Because it smelled bad.
Yeah, it was.
He made me smell the season 12 fragrance.
Yeah, this smell, yeah. Yeah. Never wonder. But yeah, so you get lots of shit work as well. But yeah, the money is good and the effort is really less. Like I said, it's like out of 5 projects.
See, I'm making such a good case for writing right
see,
now. For
see,
people
okay,
listening at
okay.
home.
For people
like,
listening
oh,
at home.
Mehnat bhi nahi aur paisa bhi acha.
For aspiring writers. If you have like 5 projects.
Okay.
As a comedy writer.
Okay.
This is like generalizing. But if you have 5 projects, as a rule, like 2, you'll do 2 just for the money.
Yeah.
You'll do 1 which you'll really love, but it will not pay. That's just going to happen. And like the other 2 are like, haan, mehnat karo, kuch kaam karna hai. Nahi to insecure
lag jayega. Portfolio builder.
Haan. Portfolio builder, perfect.
Yeah.
That's it. So that's basically how, like a month in a comedy writer's life, for me, in my life, looks like.
5 projects a month?
I mean, kuch chote hote hai, kuch
bade. Kaam kar raha hai ye aadmi, dude.
Bahut zyada kaam.
Kuch to pass kar.
No, that was just a generalization.
I have never gotten an inquiry from Dhruv. Now that I think about it.
No.
Hey, that one, no.
I've constantly reached out to Dhruv since I left a full-time job. Yeah. Kuch to hamari taraf ek do aisa.
Arre.
The thing is ki now my work has become like, you come, which is the thing, as a Thane boy, I hate it. Everybody wants to write, like you said before, 6 days a week, office mein aao. I just hate that, dude. I hate the concept of coming to all meetings are horrible. Every meeting I've ever done is a waste of time. As a rule, dude.
Especially with creatives. Like when you're, at least when you're talking to like, actually even with corporates, whenever I meet for production related stuff, no, it's always like
corporates, creatives.
Like that's across the spectrum, even podcasting for that matter. Like we worked on a brand project and I was the producer on that project and we had like a limited run of episodes. And I had taken like an entire deck of ideas that we had to promote. Like actually I had because nobody else was coming up with those ideas and I was like, okay, I'll run this past my bosses and then we'll go and present them there. So first meeting we go and tell them entire planning of like how we'll release the episodes, what marketing around it, everything, and I give those lowdowns. Agle hafte they're like, okay, let's talk about this next week, like where we have something. And next week they have created a presentation
doing
the same thing with my ideas. And here they're like, okay, example on Instagram how this has been done, none of that shit.
Oh man. And they didn't like get back to
you.
Wow, dude.
We finished the show entirely. It's still on the network. I'm not naming it because why not?
Yeah, but I mean, I just feel like a lot of it has to do with people feeling like they're doing something. Like, I don't necessarily blame people for having those meetings because I feel like we're very privileged in that we do something that we really love doing.
Correct. Agreed.
Most people don't do what they really love doing. So they will do things to fill the time.
Oh, that's actually really true.
But at the same time, we also like, we are creative folk who don't know all this middleman business, right? We always have like...
Yeah, man, hierarchies, I don't understand them actually.
Yeah, but then it's just like, they don't understand shop talk either.
Correct.
So we need to learn their
ways. I think like it's for their own self-worth. Ki theek hai, office gaye kuch kaam ke. They want to feel that. They don't know ki yaar email pe 5 minute mein kaam ho jayega.
Exactly.
And I'll tell you like a similar incident was I was writing for this brand. They had like 2 scripts they wanted to like work on. some kind of like coffee additive or whatever. And so I wrote two scripts for them. They liked it and everything. And so the first idea was like something very simple, which was just like two dudes in a house, and one guy is made a mess out of the house. And the other guy says that, oh, your parents are coming. Your mom just texted on your phone. And he starts cleaning the entire house. And then, like, in no time, like, the house is clean. And like, oh, it means your mom said next month, not next week. So, whatever. And there's a flip at the end. And everybody's happy. Then he's like, okay, coffee, pee, like, kush ho ja. So, that was the script. And they liked it. And I'm like, okay, let's watch the screen test. So, they get two actors to do the whole thing. And these two actors are, like, Warsaw boys, really. You can see from their armpits that they are pretty much...
from their armpits?
Yeah, because they're like this. So you don't, okay, you like don't keep it like this. Yeah. I can't do it on audio medium. But it looks like they have put, like, a socket between their...
it's like they have tennis balls in their armpits.
Biceps, correct, yeah, exactly, yeah. So, wasted a lot of time on that for no reason. But... and these dudes are improvising, dude. They've taken the script and like they're running away with it. And kuch bhi ho raha hai, kuch bhi ho raha hai. But okay, they've ruined my entire script. And so the when I come back to, I wrote a script in Bangalore and I came back to Bombay, I landed and I went directly to the meeting to see how they've done the screen test. And the person who I contacted, she's showing me the entire thing, acting out and everything. I'm looking at her in disbelief and she's smiling. She's like, mas karana, look, kya mas karana. I'm like, no, they've ruined my entire script. But they're like, no, the brand really like this stuff, what they're doing.
How does that feel though, when you're a writer on something?
Dude, it's annoying as fuck, right?
Feeling, dude,
it's stupid because you gave them something that was actually good. And when we write with like a lot of concern about like how every small detail we inculcate, bracket mein ye aisa karega, ye flinch karega.
No, see, which is why I divided into the five projects for that role, where this will usually happen in those two projects where I have stopped, for me, I have stopped caring. So if I'm doing something for the, like, if those out of five, I'm doing those two projects for the money, I know it's going to go to shit. I know they love my script and then they'll still change it because corporates want to add their own inputs.
Yeah.
Because like you said, they want to feel like they're working.
Yeah.
So I've just stopped caring, dude. I just like, jo karna hai karo. In fact, I even tell them ki I won't come on the shoot. Because it's frustrating when you're seeing it live.
Yeah.
That's the worst part.
Yeah, that's the biggest
terrible
concern.
Actors.
Yeah. Man, like, sometimes what will happen, no, is I'll get a call. Like, I'll give you an example. There was a radio station, okay, who called us in saying, hey, we would like to organize some comedy shows with y'all. I'm like, oh, okay, sounds good. I go to them and we have a meeting where we say, hey, man, let's do comedy shows. Where would you like to do comedy shows?
We all know which radio station this is because there's only one English-speaking radio station.
No, it was not an English radio station.
I work with the English one.
Oh, really?
So they said we want to do these 7, 8, 9 cities. I said, cool. Then we went back, we made a plan, we came back. And now the person we are meeting has changed.
Oh, wow.
If it was ABCD, now it is EFG. And EFG has no idea what the meeting is about. EFG has just showed up to the meeting. And we tell EFG, we're like, hey, man, this is, you know, did you read the mail that we sent? That your person replied to and asked for this meeting from. Like, what mail? Who mail? So we showed her everything again. She's like, okay, come back next week. So we go back next week. And then she's like, acha, now if you are doing shows in all these cities, we can provide you ad space for this much money. I'm like, no. You want to do shows in these places and we can provide you comedy production for this much money.
Wow.
They're like, no. We can provide you ad for your shows for this much money. I'm like, bro, tu kya kar raha hai?
Dude, there's kuch understanding ki nahi hai. Between corporates and creatives, there's so much gap. Yeah. I don't know why creative people don't like learn about business and do.
Are, but
okay, guys, I feel we have tapped into the heart of this episode, which is like a creative brunt against corporations.
Yeah, man.
So we'll take a break and come back and talk about this more.
Okay. Done.
Like, you hear all these Salman Khan jokes at every open mic almost, right?
Yeah.
It's just annoying after a while.
Yeah.
And some guy again, like, ki black buck ko mara, haha, and joke on that. And I was hosting that mic, so I was just like, this was the 10th Salman Khan joke by the 10th comic on the lineup. And I was just like tired, dude. And I'm like, so you can imagine why is nobody talking about why he killed a black buck, right? Like, if he was shooting for the song ABCDEFGHI in a bus, and he had to keep singing that over and over again, like, I'm just surprised he didn't kill Sonali Bendre. At least the buck was a better option.
Man.
What do you think about that?
in my special right now, I do one about how being... But this special, I do a joke about how as Indians, we don't ask the right questions at the right time. So when Salman killed all those black bucks, nobody really got to the heart of the issue, which is ki raat ko black buck kyun ghum rahe the bahar? और वो भी नंगे. सो साड़ी पहनाया रहता तो शायद दिखता ना ब्लैक बक है. नहीं मारता था गोली. एंड दैट वाज रियली डिस्टर्बिंग लाइन व्हिच इज रात को नंगा घूमेगा तो कोई ना कोई शॉट मार के जाएगा. या व्हिच जस्ट एट दैट पॉइंट द ऑडियंस आइदर लाइक गोज इनटू बैकवर्ड मोड और दे बर्स्ट इनटू अप्लॉज. इट्स अ गुड फन एक्साइटिंग
एक्सपेरिमेंट
लाइन टू ट्राई.
आई रिसेंटली टुक अ ब्रेक फ्रॉम watching good stuff on my laptop to watch stuff with my family. Like, you know, once in a while I sit with them, like my mom.
Yeah, on the TV.
She like, come sit with us, let's watch something. I'm like, okay, watch Kapil Sharma, of course. And this was special because I saw all the Khan brothers, like Arbaaz, Salman, and...
They'd all come
on TV. Aww. And my mom was like all up to date with like... My dad had all gossip about like how Malaika left him and all of that drama.
Malaika left him?
Arbaaz Khan, yeah.
Oh,
you know about the split?
They had a divorce.
Girl, you're missing out on so much.
What? Why did they divorce?
Because I think she had an affair outside someone.
कुछ भी यार, एक कुछ भी लोग बोलते हैं यार.
हाँ यार, how can
you? That's the gossip you got from Bombay Times.
Every Bollywood gossip is ये तो cheat करती है.
Anyways, surprise of the episode was Salim Khan appears like. Then
oh,
later.
The dad, huh?
Yeah,
oh,
and nice. Then Salim Khan is just like he's killing it, dude. Like he's hilarious because वो सारे तीनों बेटों की poll खोल रहे कि इसने ऐसा किया, उसने ऐसा किया.
इसने diaper में सुसु किया, ऐसा क्या?
Embarrassed, I was like, I'm embarrassed.
Did you see that photo of him just no. like looking up into the sky?
Dude, I saw him at the perfume jig just.
Yeah.
shot with him. Dude, that was one experience, dude. Yeah. That was insane. Like, I have never seen a person like him. Like, his vibe, his aura. Dude, he's a proper superstar. Huh?
Yeah.
There's a, like, after seeing him, I don't blame him for the way he is.
Really?
Because, like, dude, at that level, if everybody
is
constantly...
He's like Indian Kanye, right?
Dude, he has so many yes men. He's surrounded by, like, 15 yes men. Yeah, so, he's on a different level with that level of adulation. Yeah. And there was a point on Jig Joss, the perfume launch, where he was talking to the contestants of the Jig Joss competition. And he was supposed to like interact with them and have a conversation, but he just froze. And like about 5 minutes, he froze. And there's a live audience there who's too scared. There's a full crew behind who's too scared to tell him anything.
Yeah.
So they're just like, okay, theek hai, maybe he's thinking. Like Srisant and people are sitting on TV and sitting inside. They're just like looking at him. He's gonna say something. Like almost 5 minutes, he was just standing like this and not moving at all. I feel like, dude, he's on a different level. There's, I mean, it's not drugs. I don't know what
no,
it is.
No, collectively spoiled him as a child.
Yeah.
As a country, we have given him that.
As a country, we've spoiled it. It's our fault.
Yeah. It's our fault.
It's not his fault.
We have found a bottom line to this,
this problem. Okay, now that we've solved that solution.
All Bollywood, this thing. Yeah. It's all a scam, man. Every, like, whatever you think, it's all a scam, man. Like, all these award shows you see... Dude, someone will turn up.
Bro, 1 second. Huh. Welcome to the second half of Vartha Lab. Sorry, we were so engrossed. You see, context is there. Context. Years of friendship. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, continue. Huh?
So at award shows, you like I used to actually watch all these award shows that I now write. Thinking that, okay, it's like legit. Like, you know, cool people are coming, they'll crack, they'll say something funny.
Yeah.
Kapil Sharma will laugh and someone will do toying. Bas, khatam. So I used to watch these, but then dude, it's all
someone
a scam.
Someone will do toying.
Yeah. toying is really useful, man, I've realized. Because there's no joke in the script, but they'll put toying and people start laughing. It's insane.
Yeah, because there's a guy with a stick, no, that makes them laugh if they don't.
So, yeah, man, award shows pe to like someone will come last. Like, I've had an award show, like a huge award show, where I'd written a whole, we were talking about like, kya hota hai when, you know, a script goes to shit.
Mm.
So I'd written a whole script, the whole draft had like, we had like 15 categories. Out of that, 10 people didn't show up last moment. And some other, so they went to the audience, they saw which celebrities were there, and they literally made up award categories for those particular celebrities.
Yeah. What?
And so that was the thing they were doing. This is the corporate brain. They were like breakthrough of the year, a new breakthrough of the year, emerging breakthrough. These were like different categories.
Correct. Wow.
Depending on the people. It's like, dude,
it's such a circle joke.
Yeah,
man.
The whole award show thing is such a circle joke. It's like, hey, and it's not just for Bollywood and all. Huh? I've seen it happen. So I got this email from some website that says, we have given you an award of best YouTube video of the month.
Hmm.
please make a video thanking us for giving you award of best video of the month. We will put it on our website. And you put it on your Instagram. I said, so who is legitimizing who here?
Yeah, man.
Like, who is the one? It's such a weird, twisted thing.
And the audience is like apna desh mein bahut geede log hai. I don't know how to say this right, but that's like kitne, there's so much viewership for these kind of things which are like so obviously fake and like pura scam hai.
Yeah, like for example, let's go to TikTok or any of these.
Oh, TikTok, dude, have you been on that Facebook page? It's called Reptiles of Kurla.
Oh, Reptiles of Kurla is best.
And the about section says soft moist TikTok stars.
And also there's a Desi Boys Cry Passionate.
Oh, dude, I love that page
because everybody's like singing the same song.
Yeah,
but with so much passion.
So much passion.
I love that. But way before that, there was also humans of like Jharkhand, Jharsa, all these places.
Uh-huh.
So like humans of New York, but like copies of these
places.
There
was a humans of Delhi, I think.
Don't
reveal that. That's the whole point of
we'll beep that out. Please make note.
Yes.
Oh, why not? He didn't say anything wrong. It was
no,
funny.
No. It's not supposed to be
known that
he's the one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
See, it's a big farce. Already created it, and we
again you have to beep it now.
Shit.
It's gonna be fun if you're listening at home. Sorry, man, these guys are just trying to build attention. But you are into a lot of other stuff. I think this makes sense. This writing thing makes sense because Dhruv likes football and traveling. Both of these are things that you can do as a writer better than as a comic. Because even when we travel, we have to travel for work. You actually get to travel and you make vlogs and shit.
That was just two, dude. But I've always loved to travel. But yeah, I mean, it's like a... So the recent one that I went to was the northeast of India, which is like, I can't tell you enough about
it. How long was it?
I went for 22 days first, and then I went for 8 days again.
Oh, wow.
Some other, yeah. That was my first solo trip and the longest one, yeah. But yeah, dude, that place is so, like, it's, nobody knows anything about that whole place, which is, like, incredibly sad.
Hmm.
We never, that's one place that is never in conversation in normal talk. When you think of an Indian, never in your life will you picture either a Northeast Indian state, food.
Yeah.
They're never in the picture at all. I was just discussing today that how all your relatable videos online, it's all North Indian.
Yeah,
there's no
it's all cowbelt.
Yeah, it's all, exactly, it's all cowbelt. So, and Northeast is though even more like just completely excluded from our conversation. So, it's an insane place to just go. I actually did a stand-up show. That was my last proper legit stand-up show where I did material, I think.
Oh, that's a good place to end your career, bro. Like, if you are ending in this, because did you see the video of it? It was such a sweet video.
I texted him immediately because that was around the same time. I mean, all of us were traveling.
Yeah.
So between the two seasons of Vartalab, and it was like, it took a whole new meaning because right now we were like, okay, even if the show is a means to, you know, document stories for us.
Yeah.
There's so much we take in when we're actually traveling as comics, really. Just like,
yeah, man, that was insane.
It's intense. And that I was also vlogging my own shit, but I did not compile anything like he did. So rather envious of that as well.
Mm.
So.
Yeah, wo to matlab, I just can't, dude. It's so hard to edit videos. You do it, no?
Yeah.
I don't know how you have the patience, dude.
I
was supposed to release, there's 6 more left, but I'm just not like, it's so much work.
Yeah, it is. I lost patience when I switched from Mac to Windows.
Oh, I am on Windows. Is that bad? Is Windows
no,
bad?
It's just that it's learning the software again becomes cumbersome as a, you know, thing.
Mm.
But it's a patience game, yeah. You have to just like really be into what you're doing.
Mm.
Plus, so, especially when you're the one who shot it.
Yeah.
Like, that's a different mindset altogether. That's why when I went on tour last year and Sumedh shot that documentary, that whole thing was...
that was a great documentary.
He shot it and he edited it.
He's a legit professional, no? He's great at what he does.
I didn't even have any... Like, I asked him to remove one shot.
That's a good thing, see?
Yeah, because I was... But he didn't even remove that shot. So I was like, okay, but that's fair also, because it's his thing. I was just the subject.
Yeah. So I'm dating a filmmaker now for that very reason. Mm-hmm. I'm like, just like have my boyfriend follow me around. I'm like, you're catching me in my prime right now.
That's a damn smart move.
Yeah, see me skyrocket and be like, oh, rags to riches, like Didi Gaga, what's this happening?
I'm dating a pharmacist, kuch fayda hai nahi, dawai le lega sir.
How long have you been dating?
Hey, why is this up for?
Because you brought it up, bitch.
Shit, man.
You brought it up.
Yeah, you wanted some validation on that. Yeah.
Moving back to
you
our next.
No, you have the flow.
You have the flow.
But the stand up in. No, but on a serious note, the stand-up in Manipur was really a different... I think it's the most fun I've had on stage, probably.
Yeah.
Because you know, the laughs were like, there's someone who's from mainland India who is talking about us and who knows what we, you know, are all about, which was like insane, because genuinely you'll never find someone who looks like you or me. There's no mainland Indian face in those four states that I was there.
I feel like I relate to that feeling though, because even whenever I go abroad and I end up performing, I feel the exact same thing, because when you step into that world, you come in with such a drastically different perspective that in itself is very nice for the audience. Such a fresh perspective. Mm. And then if you're not a douchebag about that perspective,
that's the main point.
And then they're like, oh, ye toh, matlab, he respects us and he's different and he's giving us a mirror to us. Rather than pointing it down at us, he's just showing us what we're like according to him.
Even more than the respect part, there was also the fact that there's an mainland Indian who knows about us, who knows about the things that, you know, we are about. So just when I mentioned about, you know, I had some joke about them eating dogs or something and the price of dog meat. So there was just like, they started clapping because I knew the price of dog meat. They were like, he knows we eat it, he knows it's a legit thing. So yeah, it was like,
but there is a part of Northeast that consumes dog meat.
Yeah,
right?
There is. There's a part of Mizoram. There's a lot of Mizoram that consumes.
So where do you fall on this whole conversation? Because a lot of people are like, you know, debating it that if you have one animal as a pet, how can you eat it? But for them, it's never been.
But
that
the thing
kind
is that they're not eating my pet.
Yeah.
So that's my take on it, actually. That they're not eating my pet. Like you can do what you want, dude.
Yeah, man, I'm totally up for that. Like, as far as you find something delicious, if you know how to cook it well, do it.
Exactly.
And kill it mercifully.
Kill it mercifully.
And the thing is that they do kill it. So they are the Mizo tribe is a hunting tribe, traditionally a hunting tribe. So there's still a lot of pride associated with having fresh game on, you know. So there's not just dog, there's a bunch of other animals also that they do eat. But dog meat is supposed to be one of those meats where it's actually like double or triple the price of chicken and all. Oh. And it's one of those meats they'll have only when, you know, some guests come and as a way, like to honor them.
Oh, okay. Mm.
And they say it's like that. I've had a pet, I don't know, I couldn't eat it.
Right.
I mean, I don't know if that has any relation also. I'm pretty sure.
I guess in your
pets
head
too.
It does.
In my head, yeah.
Yeah. My friend ate it. He said it tastes faithful.
Wow, that's fun.
It's faithful to the taste. Very nice to know.
Yeah. What's the weirdest thing you've eaten ever?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't eat very weird things in life.
So I've eaten an entire ant larvae colony on a dare.
Oh man.
Okay.
Just for the interesting. Heck of it. Just like.
But wait, this wasn't food. This wasn't like some culture cup food.
No.
You just eat it because.
Yeah, it's like I was in my peak man versus wild phase.
A rabbit, if it's not weird.
No,
but
rabbit's
just,
not weird at all.
Yeah,
rabbit's
not
people
weird.
Eat, yeah.
That's literally just, every Mowgli episode.
Okay.
Shut up.
Yeah.
Give me something
worse. Snail is the worst. The weirdest
snail. Snail is delicious, dude. That's a French dish only, escargot.
Snail,
that's the
tortoise. Tortoise is something I've eaten.
Really?
Yeah.
Dude, yuck.
Kangaroo?
Why yuck?
I mean, isn't tortoise dirty?
No. What do you mean dirty?
See, one man's dirty, the other man's
pet.
Fair enough.
I've eaten kangaroo meat.
Oh, that must have been nice.
It's tiring. All of those, I've eaten kangaroo,
muscular
reindeer.
Reindeer jaisa hai, but not reindeer.
Black buck.
Antelope.
Moose
nahi khaya, antelope khaya. Buffalo khaya. Buffalo khaya? Buffalo nahi pata. Buffalo wings tha wo alag.
Buffalo to haan, buffalo wings chicken hota
hai. Wo to chicken hota
hai. Baap ke baare mein aise baat karte
hain. But yeah, I haven't eaten much crazy.
But you know what? Fuck chicken, dude. I'm so over chicken.
I feel
why, dude?
Sad.
Why do people hate chicken?
Because chicken ko dekh ke lagta hai isko kya khayega main yaar? Itna dukhi janwar.
I don't give a.
Wo itna chota cage. Bakri at least ghumta hai.
Yeah,
my reasoning is not that. My reasoning is just that meat is just not palpable. You know what I'm saying? Like, I like my meat to be like, okay, something I can sink my teeth into and then like really tear the meat apart.
Dude, you've not had good, well-cooked chicken.
I've had well-cooked chicken, man. I've traveled the world looking for chicken.
Chicken falls apart if you cook it too much. That's the thing. You have to get just right.
That whole part of the fucking thigh where it's just like it's very stringy, where it's just like chunky and you can't really chew it. You have to chew it a lot to like digest it. I don't like that part.
Dude, I had smoked chicken when I was in Northeast, and that was the one thing I couldn't eat because it tasted like actual chicken. It tasted like how a chicken ka wo truck hota and how that smells like actually like it was like almost raw.
That's the thing. Like I can't do that.
Yeah, that was too hardcore for me.
I'm so done with chicken.
I like my meat cooked. And I like my animal reasonably happy when it dies.
Yeah.
And you'd never know, no?
Huh?
You'd never know if it's
But yeah, on general, I think broiler murki, you know for a fact that it's depressed.
But it's been made so that Akash can eat it, you know? It's been made only.
No, I understand. But you know, my logic is now in next 5 years now, all the meat will be lab grown. Mm. When I was in Vancouver, abhi, I ate this meat, dude, which is supposed to be all plant matter. But it's like exactly like
really?
And it's some Udarka brand has started it.
Some vegan protein basically.
It's a vegan protein, but it's like it's meat. It's meat. In fact, they have like lab grown meat now. Where all they need to do is take like a little sample from a cow, which is a prick to the cow, and then they can just grow the beef in a lab. Kitna best. Veg beef.
Veg beef.
Giant beef, bro.
Nice. No onions with that.
That doesn't sound great, does it, Naveen?
If you put a label to it, it immediately becomes like something that I don't want to put in my mouth. But like, otherwise, the idea of something that can be created from...
Logic is the amount of resources that we spend in rearing all these animals to slaughter is way more, right?
Yeah, if it's profitable, it's... That's
more
the
than profitable, it's just for the environment, dude. Like, cattle create so much of the methane for, greenhouse gas that is ruining the planet. They take up so much space. They take up a lot more water and grain than they actually give out in terms of food. Like, all of these issues are like genuine issues to me on an environmental level, not so much on a moral level. I don't mind killing it. I just feel like it shouldn't cost so much to kill it.
Dude, but I just
don't kill it if it came to it.
I have killed a lot of the animals that I eat.
What?
Yeah.
What have you killed?
I have killed a chicken. I've killed a rabbit.
Oh God.
Murderer.
I killed a goat.
Listen,
I come from a vegetarian background. So my logic was, if I can't kill it, I won't eat it.
Then I couldn't eat non-veg if I could have to.
I had to be true to that kind of scene in my.
So you actually like care about the environment and all?
I genuinely do.
Dude, I genuinely don't. I'm surrounded by friends and people, family who really care about the environment. I just can't get myself to care. Like, my plastic use karega roz.
Nahi hota yaar. Mere ko weird lagta hai.
Dude, how? But
even
I don't
the
know.
Like paper straws and
dude,
stuff.
Dude, it's too far away. You know, that's what I feel.
It's not far away. It's right here. It's happening
right now. But
yeah, no, but it's happening
now. Because for like the argument about this whole thing is that if you watch the movie Mother by Darren Aronofsky, you'll understand what I'm trying to say. Let me quote something from the movie. So basically, human civilization has been blaming the fact that, okay, it's cyclical. Okay, whatever we have created and has been destroyed will come again and will destroy it again.
Yeah.
But point is, like, it's only in the recent past that we've really abused the planet, really, you know?
Yeah.
It's only after industrialization and everything. And I just keep repeating this because I feel like, again, we'll have a big boom. The final big boom is the nuclear fission that creates that fucking thing. And we all are bomb. Like, the whole idea of a big bang is the fact that we have already done this before. And we're recreating.
The Big Bang is basically just us resetting the universe.
The universe. Oh, with like nuclear bombs and stuff in the past.
Yeah.
And from that we have grown out.
Very, very common, well-explored concept. That doesn't mean that we should live in a way that, the grandkids don't have air to breathe no more.
Oh, no, that's not a debate.
I was just referencing the movie Mother, by the way.
One second, let me clarify this. I know I'm absolutely wrong here. But I just can't get myself to care.
I understand why it's hard to care. It's because it's something that's, you have to do something now so that something far away changes eventually.
Yeah.
And if you don't do this one thing now, then that will, so that faraway thing will eventually hurt you in a way.
No, I even know that it's an immediate like thing.
But
also,
the winters are worse. The droughts are worse. There are more cyclones than I remember growing up. It's hotter than it used to be when I was
growing
up.
And also it affects like the other part of the world more than like us privileged folk.
Dude, it's going to, you realize it will affect me more than it'll affect any of you. Because I live 1 kilometer from the beach. Okay, like I live 1.5 kilometers from the beach. It's going to go. It's all going to go underwater in the next 20, 30 years if you don't like work on it.
But you live on a 19th floor, so it's okay.
Yeah, but then I have to, yeah.
19th, so we can fix plastic.
But I also feel like, most people are too stressed out about the environment. Like, chalega bro, ek dam bana sakta hai tu shanti se.
No, I feel like it's okay to be stressed. I think that's the right thing. I just don't know why I am not stressed. I think everyone should be. I've read about this. I'm with you on this.
Yeah.
I'm with you on this debate. I just can't get myself.
Because it's far away. It's not immediate.
Yeah, maybe.
Polar bear mara apne ko kya hota
hai? Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, all these PETA people, they stand with like blood and throw them at people wearing fur coats.
Oh, dude, PETA is shit.
Khoon kiska leke aa rahe ho tum log? Aren't you hurting an animal to get blood eventually? Like, what's the fucking thing?
I find there's a little duality there, with them, because on one hand, you want to not keep animals as pets, but you want to euthanize them as well. If it's going to
dude, PETA, of course, there are many of these euthanizing cases.
But that's not PETA
them,
India, by the way, to clarify on this podcast. And
no, I'm saying PETA India, their Twitter, that's all I know, but their Twitter is so annoying, dude.
Yeah.
Their tone is so entitled and like, hey, look at you, man. You're killing the animals. Fuck you. Like, why? Don't talk to me like that.
Yeah, just be nice.
Yeah, be
I
nice.
I understand that you have a point to make.
Yeah.
But could you not have that tone?
I may listen if you're nice. The tone is so entitled.
But I see that with every kind of liberal activity. liberals are getting more and more aggressive with their opinion to people. So it's not so much about telling somebody your point of view, it's about telling them that they're wrong. More often than not, which is very, which doesn't help anybody.
So I'm saying
far right and far left.
Yeah, they're the same.
Boom.
Anybody who uses emotion rather than objective scientific fact to prove an argument, I feel, is as bad for humanity.
But in
as a
some
whole.
Arguments, you do need to consider emotion as well.
Yeah. I think all emotionally good things are justifiable by data. As weird as that sounds,
exactly.
But so it's genuinely, I feel that's
over
that's
the past 1 year, I've been trying to reel in my emotions more and like be more, you know, statistical and calmer about things.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because we can fly off the handle and be all like very left and very like emotional and be like, oh, but what about the farmers in Guatemala or whatever? Mm. When we don't have idea about our own farmers, you know, that's the kind of foolhardy behavior I'm talking about.
Huh.
So I think it's better to like read about your own local shit and do what you can do right now in your own time before pointing fingers right or left.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well said, guys.
That's such a warm note.
I've learned a lot today.
We're learning, we're growing, we're people.
You know what? One thing Dhruv has not been able to teach me in all these years, and he tried also. He watches football, which I have absolutely no. Yeah. I just cannot motivate.
Football is your
that's
environment.
That's my environment. I cannot bring myself to care about that sport. I don't know how, like, and you used to be the head of the fan club in India or something, no? If you're an Liverpool FC fan.
No. I used to have a really, like, I was one of the co-admins of a really popular page at that time.
Oh, hardcore. See?
That's really
good. Nahi, tabhi sirf time tha, yaar. To kuch post karega, char opinion dalega, bas. That was the one. But yeah, I'm like.
Are you still involved?
Dude, yeah. Not with the thing, but like.
But you've gone to watch them play and all.
Dude, yeah, like it's the only thing that, as sad as this sounds, wow, it's the only thing that actually makes me, like, cry from the bottom of my heart.
I've seen your videos.
Yeah, it's insane.
What makes you cry from the bottom
of
the
heart? If Liverpool loses or wins, or my favorite player, Steven Gerrard, when he retired. That was a match I saw, actually.
Oh, Gerrard retired finally.
That was 2 years ago.
Okay. But so, he retired. Good.
Are you
to
trying
know.
To make him cry again? It's working.
Dude, tabhi he can bring on Sachin. He can bring up Sachin. I'll also start crying. It's okay.
So yeah, tabhi I'd cried a lot. I don't know why. There's no explanation to this. Football is like, I know.
Good feels.
Like, it's stupid, I know.
But do you feel like it's one of those things where when you're a kid and you're growing up and you find this identity that the club is.
That's all it is.
That's what it is.
That's
right?
What it
it
is.
Becomes like this thing.
Actually, everything in life is kind of that. Comedy, you want to belong to something.
Yeah, you want to belong to something.
Yeah.
That's why we feel so nice in the festival, because we finally belong to something bigger.
I still wish there was an Adnan Sami fan club though.
Oh, well, hey, you're sitting right there, bro. What are you saying?
Let's make one.
You
nice.
And me, baby doll.
Nice. I was thin.
Where is he now? Is he still thin?
He was, last I found out, he was caught for Hawala or something.
Wow. And I should. My dad showed me the newspaper article where I was like, this was when I was like huge, and he showed me a newspaper article when he lost some 90 kgs or something.
Yeah.
And I was like,
dekh. But he had his stomach stapled or something, I think. But
is he arrested? I should show my dad that article.
A lot of people are like, he's trying to maintain the lie that he just had to work towards it naturally. But 2 months mein achanak se itna batla nahi.
Dude, nahi hota kiska bhi. Pakka.
Arun Jaitley got his stomach stapled.
That's such irresponsible things to do. You
what,
know, 90,
stapling your stomach?
No, not that. Telling people that, you know, may exercise or... That's what he used to... That's what the article was. He exercise and diet. No, you can't lose 90 kgs with exercise and diet. You've done something else.
In 2 weeks. 2 months.
2 months.
I thought lose half a kg a week.
Even Ambani, for a matter, I'm pretty sure he's done something.
Who, Mukesh bhai?
Tha, uska beta. He also lost a lot of weight, like, quite drastically.
Anant.
Yeah, Anant or Akash, I don't know.
Anant. You know, there was a very long time, and this just goes to show how easy people are to mislead. There's a very long time when comedians would go on stage and do Akash Ambani jokes. Ki Akash Ambani is so dumb or something. While when Akash Ambani was not even the one they were talking about.
Dude, I was the only one who did the same joke, the same hacky, terrible jokes, but about Anant.
Everybody
used to do
Akash. And the audience and the comics, everyone was like just
convinced.
Using this name.
Yeah.
No, everyone knew that they were separate people. But for some reason, in the moment it worked.
You laugh, yeah.
It's like the audience is also trained to hear Ambani and laugh.
Correct.
It's like, oh, punching up. Oh, hasega. Aisa sara scene.
Chalo.
So...
Coffee reminiscing.
Yes, buddies.
Let's time.
But fun, man.
This time.
Let's, I think it's time to wrap up this episode, you guys. As we send you off along your quiet, awkward way.
Yeah. We just will like, chant the Liverpool anthem.
Can you walk... through a storm.
Ladies and gentlemen, you can find Dhruv Deshpande on Instagram as @ Dhruv Deshpande.
I'm House of Narona.
And I'm Kuchi Mehta.
This has been Vartalab. Goodbye.
Bye.